right, I'd like you to find your place in 1 Timothy tonight, 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Tonight is a new deacon ordination service. This is the first one we've had since I've been a pastor here and so on, so I'm excited about tonight. I am preaching specifically to deacons and their wives, but the interesting thing about the Word of God is even when a certain group of people is being spoken to, everybody can glean some truths to apply to our hearts and lives. So let me encourage you with this. If God expects deacons to live like this and deacons' wives to live like this, why shouldn't every man try to live like this and every lady try to live like this? Because we know that this is what pleases God. You see what I'm saying? So if you're not a deacon or a deacon's wife, don't tune me out. It's just that God's saying, deacons, be this. Deacons' wives, be this. Everybody else, no problem to try to be the same way. Okay? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Once in verse number 8, once in verse number 12, you have the words, the deacons. And tonight I preach to you on those two words, the deacons. Let's pray together. We share this with you. Father, we love you. Please help me to preach this with power and clarity and understanding. Would you bless here at Buffalo Ridge? Thank you for the deacons and their wives that are serving here. Thank you for the three that we're going to be ordaining tonight. And I pray that you help us to have continued unity upon the deacon board and the pastor and his wife. We pray. We love you tonight. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In the pages of God's holy word, there are two scriptural offices. You have the office of the pastor and the office of the deacon. Now, the office of the pastor has to do with leadership, while the office of a deacon has to do with service. As a matter of fact, the word deacon literally means an attendant. It means a waiter. It means a minister or a servant. In other words, the deacon is not to run the church, but he's rather to assist the pastor in his God-called duties. Now, let me pause here and say how grateful I am as the pastor of this great church for the wonderful deacons that the Lord has given to us. He has given us some wonderful, wonderful deacons. I know Brother Jack Moser was sharing with me after the deacon meeting tonight that he has been a deacon since the mid or late 50s. Glory. Hallelujah. What a testimony of faithfulness. I am grateful to be the pastor of this group of men and their wives because I'm not just saying this. There is great unity in the midst of the pastor and the deacon board at this local church. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. You ought to make that a daily prayer for this church, that God will help this unity to continue to go on for the glory of Almighty God. They are great men and ladies to help me in the ministry here. And it's truly a blessing to have these deacons so we can press forward as we try to reach our community, reach our nation, reach our world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we come to this portion of Scripture, we see the Holy Spirit of God highlighting the deacons. He puts them on display for our attention. And in studying this together, we're going to be noticing several things about the deacons that God brings out for us as far as the qualifications. Therefore, if you are a deacon of this local church, or you're getting ready to be ordained tonight, or whatever the case may be, please pay special attention to the message. At the same time, I've already alluded to this, all of God's children can learn some great lessons here. Because again, if he wants the deacons to live like this and their wives to live like this, then every man and every woman can learn some great things about what pleases God. Several things I want to give you about the deacons tonight. Number one, let's notice their holiness. We see this in verses 8 through 10. I've already read it, so for time's sake, I'm not going to read it again. You can read it there if you'd like to. As we look at these several things that the Apostle Paul is mentioning to Timothy about the deacons, we see a great truth come shining through. And that truth is this: God demands for deacons to be holy in their lifestyle. And let me say this before we look at these different things together, that there's no deacon in his right mind who would claim that he meets these standards at all times of his life. By the way, it is unfair for a church to make or think that a deacon needs to be perfect, because he will not be, but he ought to try to be. Amen. I'm not going to be perfect. I'm going to make mistakes. But I, as the pastor, need to try to be well-pleasing to God in my life. I realize that deacons are not going to measure up at 100% of the time. I understand all of that. But a deacon should strive to live a holy life that is pleasing to Jesus Christ. Let me give you several things that summarize this. First of all, the Bible says that they are to be grave. Now, I've got in my notes here, this doesn't mean that they're to be a deadbeat or a person who never smiles, okay? That's not what this means. What it means is that they're not to be frivolous. They're not to be shallow. They're to be serious-minded, with dignity, respectability, integrity, recognizing the importance of their God-called part in this local church. Let me say this to you. If you're a deacon or you're getting ready to be ordained as one, that is a very serious thing. It is a serious thing in the eyes of Almighty God. And a deacon doesn't have to be reminded of that. They're already grave in that area. They're sober-minded. Secondly, under this, they're not double-tongued in verse number 8. This is all under their holiness. God wants them to be holy. Be holy, be holy. How do you know that? Be a grave person. Don't be a double-tongued person. Now, what does double-tongued mean? It means don't be two-faced with your tongue. Don't speak out of both sides of your mouth. They're not to tell different stories to different people. They are to be men who simply tell it like it is. Amen. God give us deacons like that. In a good spirit, in a loving spirit, in a Christ-like spirit, they're not going to compromise the truth. They're going to say it exactly how God says it. And they're not double-tongued. Deacons are to be men of their word. They're to be trustworthy and honest in all of their dealings. That's all in this right here, not double-tongued. Acts chapter 6, verse 3, talking about the first deacons in the New Testament, said, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report." In other words, the first thing that they said to look for among their own is, you look for men to ordain as deacons who are honest, who are men of their word, who say it the way it literally is. This is all their holiness. They're grave. They're serious-minded. That doesn't mean they don't have a sense of humor. I have a sense of humor. You say, why do you have one? I look in the mirror every day. That's why I have a sense of humor, you know. By the way, you would too if you look. I'm just kidding there, okay? They're grave, they're serious-minded, they understand the importance of being called a deacon. What an honor to be known as a deacon of a local, independent, New Testament Baptist church. That's a blessing. They're grave, they understand that. They're not double-tongued. Verse number 8, they're not given to much wine. What's that mean? That means this: deacons are men who stay away from alcoholic beverages. Let me explain here that the heathen priest, get this, the heathen priest, the priest didn't even know God. They would not drink wine when they entered the temple. Did you hear what I just said? I'm talking about the priests who don't even know God. Like in the Old Testament, the heathen priest, before they ever went into the temple, they refused to drink any alcohol. None. At the same time, Jewish ministers of every rank were prohibited to use wine when they were engaged in God's service. Now, what's the point? We're engaged in God's service 24 hours a day. Amen. And I'm going to say something to you. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9, "Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die." It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Get this. Should a deacon today be held to less a standard than these heathen priests? Should a deacon today be held to less a standard than these Jewish ministers? Proverbs chapter 23, verses 31 and 32. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Let me ask you a question. What would you lose if you never touched alcohol? What would you lose? I've got it in all caps right here. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Here at Buffalo Ridge, we do not allow. You say, that's legalism. Call it what you want to. We're not saying that it makes them saved or not. That's legalism, okay? But here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, we do not allow any deacon or deacon wife to use any type of alcoholic beverages. It is prohibited. Amen. By the way, there's a movement going on about social drinking. What's wrong with taking a little drink? Takes me 5 cups to get drunk, but I only drank one. Okay, then you're 1/5 drunk then. Amen. Somebody says, hey, it's all about excess, excess, excess. I'm simply saying this. Are you listening to me? You will never become a drunk if you never taste the stuff. Amen. Talk to these police officers and see how much they see about alcohol and all these kind of things. What am I saying to you? I'm saying this, that deacons should not bring a reproach to the name of God by being found with a wine cooler or anything else in their hand. That is not of God. And it will not happen here. Amen, friends. Stay away from that stuff. Then number four, this is all under their holiness. Their holiness, they're not greedy of filthy lucre in verse number 8. In the New Testament, the deacons were involved in passing out money to widows. In the New Testament, they were involved in passing out money to orphans and needy people. That's one of the jobs that they had in the New Testament. They were also in charge of collecting and dispensing money for church purposes. And as you can see, with this being the case in the New Testament, while this is being written, the deacons are handling the money. You see what I'm saying? While this is being the case here, these deacons would be tempted to pocket some of the money, to put some of the money in their own purse, if you will, to use it for their own pleasure. Now, even though the deacons here don't handle the money, they help me make decisions, they don't literally handle the money, they are still to be men who are not out to get what they can. They are not to be some kind of a con artist. They are not to be in it for any kind of money. God is not pleased with the love of money. God created money. Money is God's. God made money to serve him with, just like he made other things to serve him with. But the Word of God teaches in 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So all under their holiness here, we see they're to be grave, they're to be serious-minded, they're to see the seriousness of being called a deacon or a deacon's wife in this local church. They're not to be double-tongued, they're to tell the truth like it is in a loving, gracious, kind way. They're not to be given to much wine, they're to stay away from alcoholic beverages because they're engaged in the work of God, and God's Word forbids those who are engaged in God's work to put drink, strong drink, to their lips. They're not to be greedy of filthy lucre. Then fifthly, they're to be proven. This is found in verse number 10. It says, and let these also first be proved. This simply means that a deacon is not to be placed into office without first being tested to see if they meet the standards that God has put upon this holy office. This is one reason why you don't allow any man to become a deacon who has not been a member of this local church for a good period of time first. Because the Word of God says that these men are to be proven. In other words, you don't just have somebody come in and a month down the road, hey, we want you to be a deacon. That is not what the Bible says here. The Bible says, let these men be proved. Let them prove themselves. They can only prove themselves in time. That's the only way they can. Now, even after this, once they're voted in as a deacon, We are to keep on proving them. You understand? They're to keep on proving themselves, making sure that they are still qualified to be a deacon. It's the same way with a pastor. May I say this to you? If I ever break, I'm talking about what a pastor should be doing. Are you listening to me? If you ever hear that your pastor goes off on the virgin birth, then you ought to call a church meeting and kick me out that very day. You listening to me? You ought to vote me out that very day if I go off in the things of God. And in the same way, if a deacon is a deacon and his wife, but yet over time they are backing off, they're becoming slanderers, they're becoming gossipers, they start drinking alcohol. Are you listening? When we find out about that, they are at that moment dismissed from the deacon board. Amen. Because it's serious. This is a serious thing. And it ought to be serious to us, you see. By the way you would do that is you would go to that person, you would try to restore them because Matthew chapter 18 would come in. You'd try to help them repent, get it right with God, but there would have to be a probation period after that. Amen, friends. This is hard enough to preach, especially when you're looking at me like statues now, okay? Then the fifth thing here, or sixth thing, all under their holiness, the Bible says in verse number 10 that they're to be blameless. Blameless. Now what does that mean? It means that they're to be unaccusable. They're to be irreproachable. That doesn't mean that they're not going to be gossiped about. It doesn't mean that somebody's not going to like them and lie about them. But what it means is this. People just grasping for straws when they speak against them. It's not true. They're unapproachable. Excuse me, unaccusable. They're irreproachable. In other words, they are to live their lives in such a way that there's no question mark. It's only exclamation points. You understand what I mean by that? There's no question mark. It's an exclamation point. First Thessalonians chapter 5, you don't need to turn to it, but in chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, here's what it says. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are blameless. So number one, we see their holiness. Secondly, I want to show you their holding. This is found in verse number 9. For what thanks can we render? Excuse me, I'm in the wrong book. Right here, verse number 9. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. There's their holding. In other words, deacons are to be holy. We've already looked at that. Grave, not double-tongued, not greedy of filthy lucre, all of that. Blameless, all of that. Secondly, we notice they're holding. They have a hold of something. They're grabbing something. What are they holding? In this verse, we see the Apostle Paul sharing with us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that deacons are holding on to the mystery of the faith. They're holding on to it. What's that mean? In Scripture, a mystery is something that no one knows what it is, but God reveals it. In other words, it's not like an unsolved mystery. A mystery is something that's unknown, but now it's revealed to us. A mystery is a truth once hidden, but now revealed. That's what it is. Now, we know the faith, I'm talking about the two words, the faith, is synonymous with the gospel found in Romans chapter 6, verse 25. The gospel is the faith. You understand what I'm saying to you? Therefore, a deacon holds on to the gospel that saved him. In other words, they are to live their lives in accordance to the gospel that saved them. The Word of God tells us that he's to hold the gospel, to hold the faith in a pure conscience. In other words, he's to live a life according to the gospel in a way that his heart does not condemn him. Make sense? In other words, he's to be so infatuated with the gospel that saved him that he lives a life where his life doesn't convict him because he sinned against the gospel that saved him. In summary, what this is simply saying is a deacon is to be a child of God who believes right, holding on to the faith that has saved him with an upright life, maintaining truth of doctrine and soundness of faith by sincerity of heart and integrity of life. In other words, listen, deacons are to stand in the truth. This means they must be saved. And they must stand for the truth by living by the truth and not indulging in sin. In a nutshell, they are saved and prove it by the way they live. That's what it means. It means that they hold on to the gospel. They have a hold of it, and it has a hold of them. And they're holding it in a pure conscience. They are holding it in such a way that their life doesn't say one thing while what they're holding in their hand says another thing. They are holding it in a pure conscience. Let me say here that one way to live by the truth is to saturate yourself in the wonderful Word of God on a daily basis. What I mean by that is deacons should be men of the book. They ought to be men who read about the Bible. They know the Bible. They're memorizing Scripture. Why? Because this is part of the faith that has got a hold of you. And now you're holding it in a pure conscience. That's their holding. Number three, let me share their household. We see this in verses 11 and 12. By the way, even if you're not a deacon or a deacon's wife, I hope that you're applying this to your life because these are the things that please God, okay? Everybody needs to hold on to the truth, right? Everybody needs to be grave about God's will. Everybody doesn't need to be double-tongued. Apply this to your life. This is for everybody, but especially the deacons, especially the deacons' wives. Now, in these verses, we see the household of the deacon put on display. We see some things that are to be true about his family. Now let's look at this. First of all, his wife. Found in verse number 11. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Let's just go right down through this. We see it is possible. Now get this. It is possible for a deacon's wife to disqualify her husband from being a deacon. Man, it's quiet in here tonight. It is possible for a deacon's wife to disqualify her husband because these are not my rules, they're God's rules. Now, what does this mean? Ladies, I'll say the same thing to you that I said to the men. You would be crazy if you think that at 100% of the time you are fulfilling this verse 100% of the time. This doesn't mean, oh, I slandered somebody. We need to resign. No, it means if you slandered somebody, see it for what it is, get it right, repent, and never do it again. This is not God saying, one time you're out, get out. No. God is gracious. Aren't you glad, friends? But may I say this to the deacons' wives? You're not going to be perfect in this, but this ought to become a prayer list for you. And you ought to say, God, as my husband's wife, as a deacon's wife, help me live by the standards that you gave me in verse number 11. Help me not to do these. Help me to do the things that you've told me to do, not to do the things you haven't. Now, what are they? He also opens up with you by being grave. This means dignified. It means be ladylike. It means that you see the importance of being a deacon's wife. Extremely important. Secondly, he said not slanderers. That means you're not a gossip. Look it up. That's what it means. You're not going to gossip. It means you're not going to falsely accuse somebody. You're not going to utter a falsehood that damages another's reputation. Let me say here that one is never more like the devil than when he slanders. Because that's what the devil does. The devil accuses you. Are you listening to me? That's one of his names. He's the accuser of the brethren. God never accuses. God knows. But he never accuses. It's interesting that Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. John 8:44 talks about, ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He says, he was a liar from the beginning. He said he was the father of lies. May I say this to the deacons' wives? Your mouth is very serious in the eyes of God. So is mine. But especially a deacon's wife in this passage that we're dealing with here. Be careful how you talk. Be careful how you talk. Third here, he said they're sober. This means they're serious-minded. They're not flippant. And it means that they're not under control of any passion. In other words, they're not ruled by the flesh. They're ruled by the Spirit. You understand what that means? Well, we can all learn that, right? Then he says here, they're faithful in all things. That means they're trustful. They're faithful. They're trustful. This should summarize the deacon's wife to her Lord. She's just faithful to him. This should summarize her with her husband. She's just faithful to him. To her children, she's just faithful to them. To her church, she's just faithful here. That's all she is. She's just faithful. She's a faithful lady. May I say this? The longer I live, I'm 36 years old, but the longer I live and the more I preach and everything else, honestly, if I died today, I would love for somebody just to get up and say, forget the preaching, forget, just say, he was faithful. Tom Farrell was here for a meeting. This has been several years ago. Preacher, I don't know if you remember this or not, but it's when I was on staff here. It was on Friday night. The meeting was over, and you and him were in one of the offices back there, and I saw you, so I walked by, and I think I walked by again because I was hoping you all would invite me in there. You see what I'm saying? And you invited me, and I think you prayed. And Dr. Farrow got up, and he was walking through your office, and he was getting ready to go out the door. And I still remember this like it was yesterday. He was walking. I was back here, and all of a sudden he stopped and turned around and looked like only he could do, and I believe he stuck his finger in my face like only Tom Farrell can do. And he said, son, just be faithful. I've never forgotten that. You know, you may not be much, but you can be faithful. You know a great thing about a deacon's wife here? God says, let me just put it all in summary. They're just faithful in everything. God, help our deacon wives to be that right there. And the ones who are here that I know of, you are. Praise God for that. Keep being faithful. Secondly, this is all his household, his wife. Second thing under this, his marriage. We see this in verse number 12. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. Now, what does that mean? This simply means he is to be a one-woman man. That's what it means. It means he's to be married, and he's to be a one-woman man. What it means is that his wife is to be the apple of his eye, and he should never look elsewhere. That's what it means. A deacon should be infatuated with his wife that God has blessed him with, and he should be a man with a strong marriage, completely committed to his wife in his personal life, in his emotional life, and in purity. This means he's not hooked on pornography. He doesn't look elsewhere. He's in love with his wife. He is satisfied with his wife. He's content with his wife. He thanks God for his wife, and he will not look anywhere else. Same time, this qualification rules out divorced men from being a deacon. He's the husband of one wife. Now, some people, well, that's one at a time. Come on, friends. Come on. Don't start interpreting Scripture just to fit something here. Let's just take it at face value. He's the husband of one wife. Amen. And if he's the husband of one wife, that means that he's not a divorced man. It means that he has one wife and that's it. Now, if she dies and he's free, you understand that, and he remarries, that's still one wife in the eyes of God. This doesn't mean that they're less useful. In other words, if somebody's divorced here tonight, some of the greatest people in our church are divorced. Amen. Some of the greatest people in our church. And this doesn't mean that they're less useful, just less qualified. There's a big difference there. You see what I'm saying? Not less useful, because God uses all people. Aren't you glad of that, friends? Amen. Then his household, we see his children in verse number 12, where it says, let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. A deacon is to be one who rules over his children well. He's to be one who presides over his own children in a way that pleases the Lord, not with severity and tyranny, but with seriousness and sincerity. This means he is the one in control in his house. In other words, he has control at his home over his kids, and not vice versa. The kids aren't controlling him, he's controlling them. Now that doesn't mean, are you listening to me here? The idea here is a deacon who is to help in the government of the church on a larger scale must be one who can govern on a smaller scale in his house. Okay? Now, this is why deacons should live right in front of his kids, love them, set standards for them, enforce the standards that you set up, because God expects the father to take charge in the home. That's God's will, friends. It is the will of God for daddies to rule the roost. That is God's will. Why? Because the daddy pictures God. And the wife is a helpmeet to him. They ought to be united and everything, but God's going to hold the daddy responsible. Now, let me say this. Let me talk to the church just a moment here. And I'm saying, please get a hold of this, because I've got kids that, you know, please get a hold of this. Are you listening to me? This does not mean that the church should expect the pastor's or deacon's kids to be perfect. Amen. They are not going to be perfect. Just come and see me, okay? My kids aren't perfect. I'm not going to let him testify, but if I would, I believe he'd tell the truth tonight. He would be honest with that. He's not been perfect. He's not going to be perfect. Don't listen to me, friends. Be careful crucifying somebody for their children. Be careful. Because I've learned something. You don't know what's going on in that house. But God does. And if that man before God is trying to lead his home and lead his family, and his child kicks the traces and goes out and does something that breaks his daddy's heart, that's not going to disqualify him as a deacon here. That's not going to disqualify him. If he's doing everything he knows to do. Amen or not, friends. I hope you feel the same way about it. Then number four, their honor. This is an H. I know it doesn't sound like it, but it is. It's an H. Their honor. Their holiness, their holding, their household, their honor. We see this in verse number 13. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree, and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. This verse tells us that those who have used the office of a deacon well will receive a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now let's separate these two and just get a little bit of a better understanding. A good degree, what's that mean? Notice it doesn't mention a PhD. It doesn't say a doctorate or a bachelor's. But it says, if you use this office well, God says, I'm going to give you a good degree. This means a better step in grade or dignity. May I put it this way? If you use the office of a deacon well, you're going to graduate with honors. You get it? It's like this. He's going to have an honorable reputation with enlarged influence and usefulness, and one day when he sees his Lord, he'll be glad. Can I put it this way? God is watching you, and he's got the report card. And he says, if you use this office well, I'm going to write on your report card. Good. Will it be worth it when God says you did good, friends? What an honor that God Almighty would say, you did good. You did good. You know what I want to hear? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear God say, you know, you weren't perfect, I know that, but you did good. Amen, friends. Then he says, you'll have a great boldness in the faith. This simply means he will have great freedom of speech and readiness to contend for and defend the gospel. In other words, he will not be ashamed to speak out for the cause of Jesus Christ, realizing he is free from an impure conscience. When a deacon is not careless and unfaithful, in his duty, it helps him to be bold in the faith instead of being timid. Let me conclude this here. Two men in God's Word, listen to me please, two men in God's Word were greatly used, who were greatly used. Those two men were Stephen and Philip. We can read in Acts chapter 6 and chapter 7 and see how the Lord used Stephen. We can then read in Acts chapter 8 and see how the Lord used Philip in a wonderful way. They remind you, based on Acts chapter 6, verse 5, that both of those men were deacons. They were deacons. One of the most glorious verses in the entire Word of God is found in Acts chapter 7, verse 56, where the people were stoning Stephen to death. And when I'm saying Stephen, I want you to think he's a deacon. He's a deacon. They are stoning him to death when he speaks. And here's what that dying deacon said. He said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." I remind you that the Bible says when Jesus went back to heaven, he sat down. He sat down on the right hand of the Father because his work was finished, the work of redemption. But when a faithful deacon was standing true to him and his word, and he went out of this earth with stones hitting him, and he looked up to heaven, the Son of God got out of his seat, stood in honor. Deacons, I'm telling you tonight that if you will take the office of a deacon and your wife will take the office of a deacon to help you, and you live according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 to 13, and Acts chapter 6, and you take a faithful stand for Jesus Christ in love, in mercy, in grace, could it be that he would stand for you too? What a way to end this message. With a standing Savior to welcome home a faithful deacon. Deacons, God bless you. You're doing a wonderful job. But let's all determine to finish right. And determine to make Jesus stand one more time. Amen? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the privilege of being here. Thank you for this service, and I pray that you'll deal with us in a very thorough way. Now, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I want to begin where God would have me to begin. If you'll come and just begin to play through softly, just something of your own choosing will be just fine. Do you know for sure that heaven is your home? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I know that this message is given directly to deacons and deacons' wives because this is a new deacon ordination service. But my, how all of us can be helped with these truths. To see that this is how God expects us to live. And maybe tonight you're here tonight and you're not sure you're even in the family of God. You're not even sure you're saved. Why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. What a day to be saved. The lady that came forward and was being dealt with as you left this morning, she professed Jesus Christ as her Savior. She became a born-again child of God if she meant what she prayed. Maybe he wants you to make that same decision tonight. Or maybe you're just coming to this church, you're not a deacon or deacon's wife, but God is speaking to you about what he lays out for these deacons. You're saying, boy, I know that God wants me to be grave. He wants me to be serious-minded. God wants me as a man to be a one-woman man. He wants me to love my wife exclusively. God wants me to stay away from alcohol. He wants me not to be double-tongued, not to be a gossip. Just apply it to your life. Come and pray. Talk to God about it. And then all the deacons, if you're a deacon and a deacon's wife, even the new ones coming on today, I want you to lift your eyes and look at me just a moment. And I want to tell you in front of the church, as I've already said before, but I want to tell you in front of the church, I love you. We have a special relationship, we really do. And I'm excited about the journey that's ahead. And I want you to know something, I need you. I need you. Let's go forward. Let's do something for God. I'd like to invite all of you all. I'm going to have you coming anyway, so you might as well come during the invitation. If you want to start out on your knees with your wife, that's between you and her. I'm not telling you to do that. You can at least have a seat on the front pew so we can continue here. But I want to invite you, if you feel led, to come and pray and ask God to help you be the deacon that He's laid out in Scripture. You ladies, help you be the deacon's wife that He's laid out in Scripture. And may I encourage you to pray this, God, help me live in such a way that if I die today, You'd stand for me. Help me live in such a way that You'd get out of your seat again. It'd be a great prayer to pray. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. All you deacons and wives, come. Anybody else who has a desire to come, you come now. Would you do it? Come now, please. As Brother Gary sings, you come now, please. If you need to be saved, come on. Come talk to God. Come talk to the Lord. Time for you if you need to be saved, whatever. Come on.
Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Hold me
and may.
After thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still.
Let's sing that verse together, shall we?
Have I thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the
God on that song. Let's sing that again, shall we?
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still.
I'd like everybody but the deacons and their wives just keep playing through. I like to hear you sing. You do a beautiful job on that piano. God bless you. Everybody else, you may be seated just a moment. I'd like the deacons and their wives to make their way up here with me on the platform just a moment. All of you deacons and wives, just come on up here with me, please, just for a moment, all of you. And I'd like for Marty and his wife, Ford and his wife, and Jeff and his wife to stand right here in front of me, right here where the pew is. And I'd like these deacons, I want you to know who they are. And these three that are standing before me are the three men and their wives that the great thing about this is even though I have full confidence in all of these men, the deacons recommended them. I like that. And after meeting with these men, talking to them, sharing with them what's expected out of a deacon, and knowing what the Word of God says about the qualifications and all of this, we are fully, fully confident that these three men and their wives live up to the measure of the standards of the Word of God. And we're excited to have you come on as deacons. We're thrilled about this. Thrilled about it. We have two of our deacons not here tonight. Brother Norman Cash. What a blessed man of God. Brother Alan Reed. Stays sick. What a dear man of God. We give them honor tonight. I cry all the time. That's okay. It's just that I feel so honored to be the pastor of this great church. Cannot believe at times that God has called me to pastor this place. Pastor, you dear men, you dear ladies, all of you, all of you, all of you. You mean the world to my wife and I. And I want these men and ladies behind me to know that you have a pastor that's not very tall, I know. But you have a pastor that God has given a heart for you and loves you very dearly. My wife is here for you, ladies. I'm here for you, too. But you understand, my wife is here for the ladies. I'm here for the men. And together, we're here for all of you. I wanted these men and ladies to come up here. And what we're going to do is we would like to make a recommendation to the church that we ordain these three men and their wives. We're ordaining the men, you understand, but they're one and the same, to be deacons of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We make a motion tonight that we ordain Marty Scroggs, Ford Davis, Jeff Roten, their wife is included with them, you understand, to be an official deacon of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Could I get the pleasure of the church that we proceed with this? What is the pleasure of the church? Could I get somebody who makes that a motion? Micah Johnson makes that a motion. Mr. Watts makes that a second. If you're a church member and you have confidence in these men, and I hope that you do because your pastor and deacon board have confidence in them. If you have confidence in these men that we proceed and you are in agreement with this as a church body, would you raise your hand high and say, aye, please. Is there any opposed? Same sign, any opposed? I don't normally wait this long, but this is serious. So carry. This means you're a deacon now. I'm going to have you have a seat. And what we're going to do, she's just going to keep playing. And I want you all to start. Just go by them. Just say a word of encouragement. And I want you all to make your way to the lobby, okay? So you're just going to go by, go out to the lobby, all of that. Matter of fact, don't go to the lobby. Just stay up here. It's over there. We'll have a closing prayer, and then I'll dismiss you. You and your wife, they're playing through. Let's do that, okay? Let's do it. Brother Gary, where's Brother Gary at? Let's sing that again. I tell you, let's just sing as the deacons are doing this. We'll close in prayer. We'll close in prayer. And I think it's appropriate to do this. Preacher, I want you to be involved in this. Miss Lashley, I hope you don't mind, but I want you and Preacher to be involved in this. When you see the last ones go by, I'd like you to come and just say a word of encouragement to both of you, if you don't mind, just to come and say a word to them. And then I'll pray over them, and then we'll be through, okay? Let's sing this together, shall we? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Let's pray this. Thine own way, have thine own way. Thou art the it again. I like it.
Have thine own way. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will.
I'm going to come down and pray over them. And I want you to pray. All you deacons and wives, if you'll come, let's just surround them here. All of you deacons and wives, just surround me as I come to them. I'm going to lay my hands on them, pray over them. And I'm using the oil tonight. This is a symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. And I trust that as we pray over you and we put this oil on you tonight, that you see the burden and the desire that we have, that we want you as a deacon and deacon's wife to be spirit-filled, full of the power of God. That's what I hope all of us are, and we want you to be the same. So what I'd like to do, I'm just going to come by and I'm going to pour this on. I'm just kidding with you, okay? I'm going to put a little bit of oil on my hands. There's nothing powerful about this. This is just a symbol. And we want the Spirit of God to rest upon you. Amen. We'll do this together, okay? Let's pray together, all right? Our Father, we love you tonight. And I pray for these deacons, all of them, but especially these three new ones. I pray, our Lord, for Brother Jeff, his dear wife, God. Would you touch them? I pray, Lord God, for Ford and his dear wife. God, would you touch them? I pray, Lord God, for Marty and his dear wife. God, would you touch them? And I pray, Lord, as I've laid my hands upon these men's head, I pray that you'll put your hand on their life. And I pray, our God, that you help the unity among the pastor and deacon board and church to continue. Oh God, keep the devil out. Oh God, slam the door in his face. And every time he goes past the door of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, may he find it airtight. No crack to get in on. And I pray for these deacons and their wives. Bless them. Use them. Encourage them, and may they help me with the vision that you have given to take this church to the next level. We love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want all of you, please make your way to the lobby. Just form a line out there, just whatever, spread out. And I want you precious people to know that these dear men of God and their wives are doing a fabulous job. Brother Bob Bryant, sir, what a dear deacon down through the years. Down through the years, what a dear deacon. I don't know about your wife, but I'm kidding with you. God bless you. I want you all to be dismissed now. Would you do that? All of you go out there, your wives, watch that oil there now, okay? Welcome to the deacon board. Amen. Remind all the incoming seventh graders and your families, you have a special activity downstairs. If you have a visitor's card tonight, please take it out through the lobby, drop it off at the Welcome Center. Please shake the hands of these deacons' wives. Thank them for their service. They're doing a fabulous job, okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Bless now, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks. You're dismissed. Have a great evening.
You men, they're going to help me Tuesday night. If I could see you real quickly, then men's ensemble will practice in just a moment.